In all that, in the fear that dries your mouth and your throat, in the smashed plaster dust and the sudden panic of a wall falling, collapsing in the flash and roar of a shell burst, clearing the gun, dragging those away who had been serving it, lying face downward and covered with rubble, your head behind the shield working on a stoppage, getting the broken case out, straightening the belt again, you now lying straight behind the shield, the gun searching the roadside again, you did the thing there was to do and knew that you were right. You learned the dry-mouthed, fear-purged, purging ecstasy of battle, and you fought that summer and that fall for all the poor in the world, against all tyranny, for all the things that you believed, and for the new world you had been educated into. You learned that fall, he thought, how to endure, and how to ignore suffering in the long time of cold and wetness, of mud, and of digging and fortifying. And the feeling of the summer and the fall was buried deep under tiredness, sleepiness, and nervousness and discomfort. But it was still there, and all that you went through only served to validate it. It was in those days, he thought, that you had a deep and sound and selfless pride that would have made you a bloody boar at Gaylord's, he thought suddenly. No, you would not have been so good at Gaylord's then, he thought. You were too naive. You were in a sort of state of grace. But Gaylord's might not have been the way it was now at that time either. No, as a matter of fact, it was not that way, he told himself. It was not that way at all. There was not any Gaylord's then. Kharkov had told him about those days. At that time, what Russians there were had lived at the Palace Hotel. Robert Jordan had known none of them then. That was before the first partisan groups had been formed, before he had met Kashkin or any of the others. Kashkin had been in the north, at Irun, at San Sebastian, and in the abortive fighting toward Vitoria. He had not arrived in Madrid until January, and while Robert Jordan had fought at Carabanchel and at Usera, in those 3 days when they stopped the right wing of the fascist attack on Madrid and drove the Moors and the Tercio back from house to house to clear that battered suburb on the edge of the gray, sun-baked plateau and establish a line of defense along the heights that would protect that corner of the city, Kharkov had been in Madrid. Kharkov was not cynical about those times either when he talked. Those were the days they all shared when everything looked lost, and each man retained now, better than any citation or decoration, the knowledge of just how he would act when everything looked lost. The government had abandoned the city, taking all the motor cars from the Ministry of War in their flight, and old Miaja had to ride down to inspect his defensive positions on a bicycle. Robert Jordan did not believe that one. He could not see Miaja on a bicycle, even in his most patriotic imagination, but Kharkov said it was true. But then he had written it for Russian papers, so he probably wanted to believe it was true after writing it. But there was another story that Kharkov had not written. He had 3 wounded Russians in the Palace Hotel for whom he was responsible. They were 2 tank drivers and a flyer, who were too bad to be moved, and since at that time it was of the greatest importance that there should be no evidence of any Russian intervention to justify an open intervention by the fascists, it was Kharkov's responsibility that these wounded should not fall into the hands of the fascists in case the city should be abandoned.